Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Amen. Everybody goes through storms in life. Everybody. It may be a storm of temptation, a spiritual storm, where we are fighting against a temptation that comes over and over and over. It may be a financial storm, where things just aren't going right, losing jobs, getting cut, pay cuts, being reshuffled, reassigned, all kinds of things that happen. Maybe an investment that goes south. It may be a storm in the marriage. Anytime two people are expected to get together all their lives, there's sometimes going to be storms in that marriage. And it may be a storm with children, raising children, young children, adult children, various storms that come. And sometimes the storm may just be within. Grieving, for example. You've lost someone, you've lost a pet, or you've lost a friend or a family member. And there's a storm of grief going on the inside, and nobody quite understands. People will say, you know, we're sorry for your loss, and they'll comfort you, but still they don't really understand until you grieve yourself. And usually when you're grieving yourself, it's a private storm. You're in a rowboat by yourself in the sea. It's not one that there's a lot of people there with you. Well, every single storm that we go through in life has, can I say, been pre-approved. Because the Lord never calls us to go through anything that we can't handle with Him. Now, without Him, we may not be able to. But with Him, we can do all things. It's very clear in the Scripture. We can do all things, including going through any storm of life, no matter how that storm manifests. So we're going to look at some storms in the Bible, and we're going to see what truth we can gain from those storms in the Bible. Let me just begin by telling you, well, a quick story. And it was when I owned an international courier business in D.C., Washington, D.C. And it was to the time where the ministry was overtaking us. We were just being called out to preach in many different places. And so we were looking, I had a partner, we were looking to sell the business. And so there was another larger courier business that was interested in buying us. And we took about a month or two to negotiate. We'd get together, we'd have meals together, we'd negotiate. And then one day I got a call about 9 o'clock in the morning. And the man said, you know what? We decided that it would be more economical for us rather than buy you to put you out of business. And he then proceeded to read some of our clients, all of our clients. He had just about every one of our clients. We had regular clients. And they were big, some of them very big accounts. And he said, we're just going to undercut you by 50%. We're going to go to all your clients and by 50%. And in a month or so, you'll be out of business. And the man knew that I was also preaching, that I was also an ordained minister. He knew, I had witnessed to him. He knew my stance with the Lord and my faith. So I immediately called Pastor Mary Beth. We prayed. And the following weeks, praying, of course, as client after client called me and said, you know, you haven't done anything wrong. You've done excellent work for us, but we're going to save on our budget. And we're making budget cuts or whatever, and they're switching companies. And it was coming to pass, just like he said. And then one day I got this phone call from somebody, and they said, it was, again, 9 o'clock in the morning. It was always 9 o'clock in the morning. And this phone call comes in. And the man says, I have some things I need between here and New York and other things. And he said, when can we get together? I'd like you to tell me about your service. I said, how about now? He said, sure. So I grabbed a cab and I went across town, met with him. And the very first job we did for him was the largest single financial job we had done in the history of the company. and it was moving something from Chicago to D.C., but it was not, we were used to, we had these little pouches. We used to call it executive pouch. We were taking pouches between various companies overnight. He had a truckload, a tractor trailer full of stuff. We had never moved anything, and I contracted, got it down. Anyway, we made thousands and thousands on that one job. It was the biggest job we ever had. And then we began regular overnight for him, doing all of our regular work. And so after about a couple of months, he called me and he said, can you stop by? I want to talk to you. And I talked to him and he said, everything's going great. He said, I just want to tell you that everything is great. You're flawlessly performing and we're going to stick with you. So we wanted to sign a contract with us, an annual contract. And then he said, I have one problem. And he picked up a handful of mail. He said, I can't get rid of these people. These people are just every day calling, stopping by, sending me mail. And I said, what are those people? He said, they're the people we used to use for our courier business, and they are offering to work for free, absolutely no cost, but I would never use them again. I said, really? What company is it? The one that said they'd put us out of business. That's weathering the storm. That's navigating through the storm. Faith in Jesus, no matter what it looks like, no matter what anybody says, faith in Jesus will bring us through any storm, business, finance, marriage, health, whatever it may be. I didn't even mention the health storm. Let's look at this in Matthew 8, verse 23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest on the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Has anybody ever been in a ship, in a boat? Of course, this was a boat, not a ship, in a storm where it was covered with water. I have. Middle of the Atlantic. Small freight ship. Waves coming over the ship and washing down the first several floors. I'd be up on the bridge and I could see the ship was underwater, except where we were. It was frightening. It was terrifying. No, more than frightening. It was terrifying. Here, the ship was covered with water. Water is coming into it. These are small boats. They didn't have high rails on the sides, shallow. They're fishing boats on the Sea of Galilee. Normally, the sea is like, well, it is a lake. That's why it's like a lake. It's a lake. But every once in a while, to the east of the sea, the mountains of Jordan have a break. The Golan Heights, there's a break. I'm sorry, that's Syria, has a break in there. And the winds from the east would rush through that gap and it would stir up the lake. And the waves on the lake, I've seen, Pastor Ray Bethel say, they could be 8 feet high. Is there something wrong online? What's wrong online? Half. Ask people. Can you ask people? Half of me. Half of me. You see, on my camera, there's all of me. Half. Okay, I don't know what to do about that. Half of the people have half my head. Well, is it at least you don't see this part where all the hair's gone? Is that the half you don't see? Because we'll keep it like that. I'm fine with that. Yeah, Dr. Al, you can come up and preach. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, if I go like this, can you see me now, or is it still half? Okay, so if I just kneel, I can preach kneeling, and then I'll be more spiritual. All right. How's that? Is that better? Sorry, everybody. Okay, look, there's this much space between the top of my head and the top of the camera here. So refresh and see if it helps, okay? Refresh and see if it helps. I'll check this out with the folks in Brazil where the platform comes from and see what we can do. All right, we're talking about the ship being covered with water in the boat, and it's a shallow boat, the Sea of Galilee, the wind comes through the east, it stirs up 8-foot waves, 8 feet. Now, 8 feet may not be big waves to us with the ocean, but 8 feet on a lake with a shallow draft, that's pretty big. And so his disciples come to him and awoke him saying, Lord, we perish, save us. All right, first of all, Jesus is in the same storm, yet he is sleeping. He is not stirred up by the storm. He is not affected by the storm. So the first thing we want to understand is that Jesus, the Word of God, is not affected by any storm in our life. It doesn't matter what we are going through. God's Word is stable. God's Word does not change. God's Word is not affected. God's Word remains the same. Jesus is sleeping through the storm. Now you might take that as a negative, like, well, maybe he's asleep and I'm going through my storm. They woke him up. Pray. It's not that he needs to be awakened. It's that we need to pray. When you're in the midst of a storm, you can do several things. When they were going across in another place, they were toiling. The scripture says they're toiling. What were they toiling at? Some were probably rowing, some were bailing. So you can row and you can bail, or you can pray. Row, bail, or pray, whichever one you choose to do. But the ones who pray, when you come to Jesus, they went to Jesus. When you come to Jesus, that's where the difference is going to be made in the storm. What happens? He says to them, I love this. You have little faith. Now, I had this revelation a few months ago, and I've said this over and over, that Jesus rarely rebuked his disciples for sin. Did you ever notice that? He rarely rebuked them for sin. He quite often rebuked them for lack of faith. Lack of faith. Why is that? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the scripture says. And if we are people of faith, walking by faith, speaking faith, thinking by faith, we will overcome those temptations to sin. He rarely rebuked anybody for sin other than who? The religious. They're the only ones that he really rebuked for sin because they were trusting in their religion and their own righteousness rather than trusting in God. But the regular people, even when they were caught blatantly in sin, what did he say? He loved them and said, sin no more. Go and sin no more. That's the strongest rebuke he would have for the regular people. Go and sin no more. But for those who he expected to follow him and be like him, he would constantly say, oh, ye of little faith, how long am I going to have to put up with you? You little faithless and perverse generation. Often, it was always about faith. That's something we need to really take to heart. And that's why faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We are faith people. It's a faith church. Exercise your faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed. If you believe in your heart, those things that you say, you are going to have what you say. All of that is what he expects of all of us. All right, so he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. And there's a great calm. When Jesus is in the boat, whatever storm we're going through, if he's in our boat, there will be peace. You can trust that. There will be peace. No matter how violent the storm is, no matter what it looks like, there will be peace. Let's go to the second place of scripture. And that is Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, this is the other storm I was mentioning. Verse 22, Matthew 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, why would he send them away before he went to pray? Probably because they couldn't pray like he could pray. They show us that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He kept coming back. Well, can't you pray 1 hour with me? Can't you pray 1 hour? Come and pray. He probably found it easier to pray by himself. When it says now, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, which obviously is that Jesus sent them into a contrary wind. Now, I want to make this absolutely clear. Jesus and the Father, the Holy Spirit, they do not cause the storms in our life. Please. They don't cause the storms in our life. They're not trying to test us. They're not trying to prove us. They're not trying to punish us. They're not trying to stop us. They are not causing the storms. There is somebody called the God of this world who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He causes the storms. But the Lord may send us into a storm, trusting us, knowing that we will get through that. It's like resistance training. When you go through resistance training, you come out stronger. When you do weight training, that's resistance. When you do running, that's resistance. You come out stronger. Your cardiovascular is stronger. Your muscles are stronger. Your faith is stronger. If we never went through anything, we would never develop anything. It's going through things that causes us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, trusting our faith in him, trusting resurrection, life, and power. So he sends them knowing the wind is going to be contrary. When the ship was now in the midst of the sea, the wind was contrary. Fourth watch of the night, Jesus walks on the sea. No storm prevents Jesus from coming to us. No storm. prevents Jesus from coming to us. When I, here's an old Uncle Charlie story. When I was about 10 years old, and he used to take me fishing all the time, and I hated to go. I was always afraid. Uncle Charlie had contracted polio when he was living in Tunisia as a young boy, and he couldn't swim, but he loved to fish. He had a small open boat, no canopy, no top. It was just an open boat that was maybe for a lake. He'd had it out in the bay and the ocean, and we used to take me out to the bay where you couldn't see any land anywhere around. We'd be fishing. One day we're fishing and I could see way out to sea, dark, dark clouds. And he says, yeah, there's a squall coming, but we are catching fish. You've got to catch a few more before we go in. We don't want to stop now. And so we're catching, but before we finish catching to go in, the storm came on us. It was a violent storm. It wasn't going to last long. It was a squall. But the wind was blowing. The boat was about to flip over. And water was coming in the sides. And when I looked over the side, all I saw was white. Either the white caps or the wind was blowing the water and the rain sideways, and it was white. I knew I was going to die. About 10 years old, I knew I was going to die. I was trying to hide under where the anchors were, get out of the rain a little bit. My uncle threw a tarp over me. But I was absolutely fearful. And then, just as quickly as it started, it stopped. And when I looked back over the rail of the ship, there was a Coast Guard cutter who had pulled up sometime in the storm, 100 yards from us, 50 yards from us. I mean, a huge Coast Guard cutter right there. That's the way it is with a lot of our storms of life. The storm is so violent, it obstructs our view, that we can't see that the Lord is right there with us. We could reach out and touch him, but we don't see him because we're looking at the wind and the waves just like Peter. We know this story. Jesus comes walking on the water. They're all afraid. Peter says, if it's you, let me walk on the water. Jesus says, come. He gets out. He's walking on the water. And what happens is he starts to look at the wind and the waves. If we look at the effects of the storm, we may lose our faith. If we look at Jesus, we maintain our faith in spite of the wind and the waves, the storms, the effects, no matter what storm we're going through. And he begins to sing. Jesus reaches out. And I gave you a revelation probably a year or so ago that if Jesus could reach out and touch him, he was almost to Jesus, right? Which means that our proximity to the Lord does not determine the level of our faith. You know what I mean by that? It means that even if we're so close to God, we're serving God all the time, we could still have a lapse of faith and begin to sink. But praise God, we're so close to him, he can just touch us. So close to him, we're right there. Now, keep in mind, Peter walks back to the boat. Jesus doesn't carry him back, right? So he walks a second time on the water. And here's the what I want to teach you from this. That which could destroy ends up being the vehicle to save. That water which was coming into the boat was the same water he walked on. See, God turns what the enemy means for evil into something good. Same thing happened with Noah, didn't it? That which destroyed the earth is what suspended or raised Noah up in the ark. He just made that happen to Moses as well. Moses' other babies were thrown into the water, and that water killed them. Moses was thrown into the water with a little addition of a boat, and he was saved. So that which in the world destroys, God turns into good for the believer who by faith will walk on it rather than sink in it. So we are going to walk on the circumstances that are trying to do us in. We are going to overwhelm and overcome the circumstances coming against us rather than sink in them if we're with Jesus. He's the key. He's what makes all the difference, isn't it? Let's go to another place in Scripture, Acts 27. Yeah, one adjustment, just one adjustment can make the difference between evil, being evil, or being turned into good. Acts chapter 27, verse 13. Acts 27, verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. You know, this is the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome. How many of us trust in those fair winds? Oh, my goodness. We just trust in those fair winds, don't we? I mean, somebody talking so sweetly, so nicely, and we trust in them. Circumstances that look, you know, to the natural eye, man, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. We trust in those. We trust in the fair winds. Fair winds turn. We must trust in the wind of the Holy Spirit, not the fair winds of the world. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit that will never turn against us. The wind of the Holy Spirit will always direct and guide us, lead us The fair winds of the world may turn against us, which is what happened here. Look at verse 18. We, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When you're in a storm, one of the first things we need to do is get rid of non-essentials. When you're going through a storm of life, get rid of the non-essentials. The things that don't count. The things that don't provide. The things that don't promote. The things that don't work. It may be things of our own mind. It may be things of... Well, here's an example. Let's say any one of these things. Let's say that you watch TV a lot. Let's say that you play video games a lot. These are three different categories. Let's say you play video games. Let's say you do Facebook and Instagram and social media a lot. Three different types of people. You may need to cast those things overboard when you're going through a storm. Those things may not be what you need to be seeing and doing and participating in to get through that storm. You may need to focus on God and less on the world, less on social media, less on TV, less on news. Maybe I'll add a fourth category, news. How many news hounds do we have? You got to be watching the news. Got to be plugged into the news. You got to know the news. You have it on your phone. You have it on your TV. You have it on your radio. Okay, that's another one. You may need to unplug from the things of the world and plug into the things of God. Rather than spending that time on Facebook, spend that time praying in the Holy Spirit. Rather than spending that time watching TV, spend that time reading the Word of God or meditating in the Word of God or talking to God. When you're in a storm, you got to cast off the non-essentials. They got rid of stuff. I mean, the whole point of going to Rome for that ship was the cargo. They got rid of the cargo. They threw it overboard to lighten the ship. So anything, that includes doctrines, that includes traditions, that includes religious things, and maybe sound good, maybe even religious people. Maybe you enjoy some different religious speakers or religious writers, and it's not the Word of God. Not that they're bad, not that they're off, it's just not the Word. It's God's Word, the Bible, that gives us the fuel for victory. It's God's Word, the Bible, that causes our faith to grow. It's God's Word, the Bible, who is Jesus himself in our lives. Then, verse 22, and now, well, let me start in verse 21. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me from the beginning." I just want you to look at that, because that's like me. Are you like that? I told you so. That's what he's saying. You should have listened to me in the first place. All right, now verse 22. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of anyone's life among you. We're going to lose the ship, but you're all going to survive. We're going to lose the ship. Now, to anybody on a boat, the last thing you want to hear that you're going to lose the boat, right? I mean, you're on a boat. You don't want to hear, by the way, the boat's going to sink. Don't worry, though. You're going to live. Well, that implies a whole lot. It implies I'm going to be in the water, first of all. It implies that something catastrophic is going to happen to the boat, none of which I really want to go through. Sometimes we may go through things in a storm we don't want to go through. But if we have faith in God, if the Lord has spoken to us, we will know we're going to make it through okay. You see, things sometimes go from bad to worse, don't they? But Paul had a revelation from God. It doesn't matter whatsoever state I'm in, I am content to be in the Lord. He writes later. He knows that even though the storm is going to take the boat, we are all going to survive. We are all going to make it through. We are going to be testimonies. Pastor Mary Beth referenced 16 years ago when I had cancer, and I prayed for a year. And finally, I went to the hospital, Sibley Memorial Hospital in D.C., for surgery. Supposed to be minor surgery to take a blockage out. Turned into major surgery, called a second surgeon in. And I'm telling you, it was like my boat sank, but I survived. The boat was sinking fast. The surgeons come in and say, you have a very serious, very advanced stage of cancer, and we can't remove it all. It's attached to several parts of your body. The only hope we have of keeping you alive is massive radiation and massive chemotherapy. And I often quip about this. One thing you don't want doctors to say is hope. I hope this works. I hope this works. We're going to try something. I hope it works. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear a doctor say, you know what? I've got this. We're going to do this, and you're going to be fine. That's not what they said. But that's what God said. The Lord said two scriptures that very same night. You shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God That's the kind of stuff I want to hear. For I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. I mean, praise God. You can't get any more positive than that. That's my God. My God is positive, my God is powerful, and my God is not affected by the storm of sickness, disease, or cancer. So, we need revelation in the midst of the storm. Paul got a revelation. Why? Because he was plugged into God. Now, verse 30, go down to verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, now, the shipmen meaning the sailors. The sailors knew ship's going down. They're going to escape. You have the sailors, you have the soldiers, and you have the prisoners, and you have the captain and crew, and the rest of the crew. Well, the sailors, they know. The soldiers, they don't know. The soldiers are there protecting the prisoners, or watching over the prisoners. But the sailors, they want to get out of the boat. And so they're letting down a little boat to escape. They're pretending they're putting out an anchor. Paul said to the centurion, okay, centurion's a soldier, and to the soldiers, except the sailors stay on the ship, nobody's going to survive. Now, why does he say that to the soldiers? Because the soldiers are armed. The sailors are not necessarily, this is not a military boat, but the soldiers are armed, and they can force the sailors to get back in the boat. Now, what do we see there? In the midst of a storm, maybe a financial storm, maybe a storm with children, whatever it may be, many times husbands and wives take opposite sides, or they begin to blame one another. You got to stick together. You got to stick together to go through the storm. If those sailors didn't work together, that boat would have sunken. If those sailors jumped ship, that boat would have sunken. Sunken, is that right? Sunken? Is that the right tense or right conjugation, sunken? Thank you. I have my English scholar there. Somebody asked me, I think it was James, asked me, Pastor Frank, how many languages do you speak? And I said, none, very well. Yeah. So, stick together. Don't allow the storm to divide friendships, marriages, families, church families, or church friends. A storm can come to a church and divide it. I've been through many storms where the storm divided church people. Don't allow the storm to divide you from friends, family, coworkers, the army of God. Paul said, unless we're all together, nobody's going to survive. Verse 33, while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day. You've tarried and continued fasting. You've taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat. Stay in the Word of God. God's Word is our meat. Sometimes we get so involved in the storm, trying to get through the storm, we forget the Word of God. God's Word is what keeps us strong and healthy. Spiritually strong, spiritually healthy. God's Word is our weaponry. God's Word gives us the ability to get through the storm. If we neglect the Word of God, we become weakened spiritually, we may not make it. We must stay strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and that's through the Word of God. Take meat. My meat is to do the will of Him who sent me, Jesus said. Jesus is the living Word. He is the meat. He's born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He's the bread of life. I'm the bread of life, bread the sustenance in the first century.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.